Ian read a lot and said a little. I might read a little and say a lot. No, hopefully it doesn't come across like that. But Ian read, it is a wonderful chapter, Romans chapter 12. And it starts off presenting ourselves to God, it being a reasonable service. So what I've been thinking about started small, and it's been going like this, and I've been trying to keep it in. Trying to hem it in. If I was to ask you, who would you think of if you were reading the Bible, and I asked you, who has wrote the most in the Bible about praise to God? You might think for a minute, but you'd likely come up with, well, that's likely David. The psalmist David, not David Hurley High. And if you read the Psalms, look up the word, don't do it while I'm speaking, but you can do it when you get home. Look, if you have an online Bible, look up worship. And you'll find that in the Psalms, it's mentioned more in the Psalms than the rest of the Bible. Now, here's a trivia question for you. Only two times in David's life, as far as I can see, only two times in David's life is it recorded that he worshiped. Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute. I think I'm right. I did do a search. Now I got you thinking, what occasions do you think that David worshiped? Now, I've been thinking about this now for a couple of weeks. And this is where, what I'm thinking about really, and I want this to be an encouragement. We look at the life of David and the occasions on which he worshiped. And then I want you to think about, I really am thinking of the males here. Is our responsibility to lead in worship? One of the verses that Ian read, it speaks about our gifts that we use, that are used. Teaching, preaching, are gifts that can be developed. Now, I say that carefully. I'm not saying that I have the gift. But those are distinct gifts, and they can be developed. But one of the things in your Christian life is a responsibility. It is not a gift. And that is when a male in assembly fellowship leads in worship on a Sunday morning or in a prayer meeting. It is vital to assembly life. And so I want this to be an encouragement to you. Now, let's go back to David, and then we'll maybe go there after. So I don't know if you thought about it. What two times is it recorded that David worshipped, if you leave out the Psalms? 2 Samuel chapter 12. I was actually quite impressed with this when I got thinking about it. And it gives a little insight into the character of David. You might think of David, sometimes we say, okay, name one thing about David, the first thing that comes to mind, Peter. And almost always, we go to their failures. But of David, it was not said of any other man in the Bible. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? And I think what we're going to read in two verses is going to give just a little insight of David's relationship to God. Now, I was saying, what is worship? What do we mean by worship? Well, if you Google it, it's taken from Oxford's, whatever it says, an expression of reverence and praise for a deity. That's what it says. It's really reverence and praise to God. It's an overflow of one's heart to God. So here is what takes place. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. I'll read the verse and then we can take a look at the context. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now, if I am wrong, if I missed it, you can correct me after. This is the first of two occasions where David worshiped. What just happened? The great sin with Bathsheba, and the child David was mourning, he was praying, he wouldn't eat for days because he was praying for the child. And the servants, his servants were actually scared to come near because they could see that he was in agony, he was in anguish, and they tiptoed. You can read in the earlier in chapter 12, it might even be in chapter 11. And then the baby dies, and they aren't sure how they're going to let him know. David understands, he says, is the child okay? And they said, the child is dead. This is where this verse comes in. Then David arose and washed and worshiped. That is tremendous. I don't know how he did it. Now, I know David, and what had taken place before this, David had been restored. Psalm chapter 51 is likely written, and then Psalm chapter 32. And then more than likely, this is when this happened. And David, in spite of the turmoil that was in his life, he saw the Lord's hand in it, and David's heart was overwhelmed, and he worshiped. He gave praise and honor to God. It's almost unbelievable. The more I got thinking about it, I thought, this is really fascinating. It's not when he came to the throne. It's not recorded then. It's not recorded after he had slain Goliath. The first recording that I can find, where it's recorded that David worshiped, is in the death of a child. The second one is in chapter 15. And 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. This is the second time that is recorded that David worshipped. Now, what takes place here? Again, it is not a time of triumph. The first one was at the death of a son. This one here is at the rebellion of a son. Absalom has made insurrection. David is fleeing. He's went across Jordan. And it says, David, where he worshipped, then his friend came and met him. So, this is where I don't know where to go. This is where I'm... So here we see a man who in the despair and in the difficulties of life, it is paramount in the life of David to worship God. Had it been recorded when he was crowned king, had it been recorded in any others, it wouldn't have given as much weight. But here are the two lowest points in David's life. And this is what marked him. He worshiped God. Now, what I want to do now is take what's written about David and apply it in New Testament assembly life. So what is worship? Well, we said it. Worship is the expressing of reverence and adoration for God. And you're likely, maybe you're sitting there and saying, well, It doesn't bother you, and it doesn't bother David and Andrew. You folks have been doing this for years. Well, can I tell you something? Maybe it looks easy, but it still isn't all that easy. Worship does not require gift. It is, when it comes to praying, or praying in a sense of tonight, and to those who prayed, it was a very good prayer meeting. I was very encouraged. But when it comes to worship, primarily on a Sunday morning, it is really the overflow of our hearts as we think of what Christ has done. And maybe, I know there's some young men, if you just come in, I know some of you have been struggling with it, and Josh got the nerve up on Sunday to go for it. And that is good. That is tremendous. David will remember, and I know I've mentioned this before, Peter Orszag took David and I aside different times and said, come on, boys, give God thanks for son. The least, he said, 10 seconds. He said, the least I can do is give God thanks for his son. And that stuck with me. I remember thinking, oh, I prayed a week ago, so I should be good for a week. I'll pray every second week. And then I remember thinking, that's not right. We were in Labrador a couple of months ago, and I never counted, but somebody else did. And there was 21 brethren get up in 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes. There were 21 men get up and gave God thanks for his son. And so the ideal, I think the idea is that on a Sunday, every brother is exercised to rise to his feet. Now, I know sometimes that doesn't work out. Maybe if we clawed back our time a little bit. But I think, ideally, God would love to hear every brother take his responsibility and rise and worship. Now, you might say, now, where do you get that? Well, we'll go there in a couple of minutes. But it does take some work. Now, when you pray in a Sunday morning, I'm going to speak about language. It's not the language you think. Now, I want you to just stop and think of how we carry out our thoughts. In a prayer meeting or in a Sunday morning worship, when I get up to pray, you know what I am doing? I am not really presenting my thoughts to God. What I am doing is I am representatively lifting up the thoughts of the collective assembly. So when I pray, when I would pray on a Sunday morning or on a Thursday night, the proper language really would be to use, we give thanks, or we pray, because I prayed earlier tonight, but I am really speaking on behalf of the whole congregation. And likewise, on a Sunday morning, there are things that I'm thinking of, but I understand that when I stand up to pray, I am presenting the entire assembly. And I never wasn't even thinking of this, but that is the reason why we say amen at the end. When David gets up, or Bennett gets up, or Dean gets up, unless I've been sleeping and not really paying attention, I should have been listening and saying, amen. It means, so be it. Yes, I agree. And so that's really the language that would be proper to use. Is when I got, I might say, Lord, I've been thinking of this, but really I could say, Lord, here's what we are thinking about. We are thinking of thy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am representing the congregation. And so that's one part of it. And so you may think, well, it's so hard. It's so hard to get my thoughts. Well, you know what? Maybe it's easier here. But if I go to Sussex or I go to another assembly, it is still a little bit difficult. But you know what makes it difficult? And I was thinking about this. You know what starts going through my mind? I'm thinking about something. And I think, okay, how am I going to present this? Because I want David to be impressed. Really? I'm not praying to David. You see what I forget and what we forget is when we are praying, yes, others should be listening. But I am not speaking to see that Ian's going to call over and say, I really enjoyed your prayer. You had everything all laid out. You know what our worship and our praying primarily is? Is our hearts being lifted and addressing it to God. What David thinks? He could be thinking about a snowmobile. Kevin might be thinking about how he's going to build his oyster boat for next year. And sometimes we try to impress the people that are in the audience. And I should be, no, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm telling you what I struggle with. Because I start to think about, okay, what's everybody else going to think? You know what I get from Scripture? Is when I rise, even if I am shaking in my boots, and I get up and I forget 90% of what I'm going to say. Because it happens. When I get up on a Sunday morning and give God thanks for his son, his heart is delighted. And I can prove it. And then when it comes on a Thursday night, it's the same thing. It's on a Sunday morning, we're there to give God thanks for his son. That really is the primary focus. On a Thursday night, we're now presenting petitions, but there still should be something. I think one of the best ways to start off a prayer is to give God, first of all, thanks for his son, but sometimes we pray for a lot of different things, and that's good. And then it happens, and we don't give God thanks. And so we gave God thanks tonight for his son, but a few of us thought, hey, we got to give thanks for Colby being saved. And then if something else happens, we were praying for Steve and Heidi a year ago, and we give thanks. And our prayers should be marked with thanksgiving and prayer. Now you can see where I was having a hard job keeping this in because it started with David and now it's branching out. But I want this to be an encouragement and a help to those who are younger because you might think, yeah, you have it under... No, I have to work at it too. And where was it going? So we start with giving God thanks. And then again, on a prayer meeting, we are speaking on behalf of the audience. And if you pay attention, we don't all pray for the same thing. Some things overlap. But you know what I find helpful? If I come and I'm thinking about a couple of things, I don't try to cover everything on our prayer list, but I'm thinking of a couple of things. And then Dean, he might mention one of them, but he might be thinking of a couple other things. And I never thought of that. And that is our collective prayer. So it doesn't take gift. Maybe it takes guts to get up. But it takes a little bit of preparation on a Sunday morning. I need to be occupied with it. I need to be thinking, and yes, I've been guilty of cramming right at the last minute. And all of a sudden you think, you know what's really helpful, especially when you're younger, and I should be doing it when I'm older. But if you're reading through the week, you might say, well, I was reading, I know I was enjoying something, and it got Sunday morning, I don't remember what it was. I got this from somebody else, it might have been Peter Orzak. Write it down. So you write something down. Then you get to Friday or Saturday night, and think, what was that? Oh yeah, that was good. And we start to build up, and we can present something to God. Now, you know, what's going to happen? So you got this nice prayer all laid out in a sermon, and you get to your feet, and you forget everything. And what you thought was going to be 2 minutes is 10 seconds. And you know what? The congregation, the assembly is lifted. And God is delighted. Now, I'm going to prove that. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, this is what I've been speaking about is assembly context. But the same thing applies at home. But now when I'm home, if I'm praying, I don't use we, I would use I. But we're not going to slam you or give you a slap if you make the mistake. But the idea is that when we're in assembly capacity, we are representing the entire congregation. So, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. Now, maybe this will help and encourage you, and you're going to think, you know what? Sunday morning, I'm gonna get up. I hope you're thinking that. Here's what it says, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer, God says, the writer says, but it's from God, it's a sacrifice. The sacrifice is the idea it's going to cost. And it is. It's going to take some effort. You might even sweat. You might shake. Sacrifice of praise to God continually. And here's what's nice. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There was another verse. I can't find it, but it's along the same lines. When we lift up our voice to God in worship and adoration, and when we pray, we are bringing something to God that he finds tremendous delight in. Can I encourage you, especially my younger brethren? Maybe you think, nobody even notices. Yes, we do. Everybody gets used to us older guys praying. When a younger man gets up, it just lifts the meeting. And we are encouraged. And so I just want to encourage you to be exercised, maybe even excited, but to think about it and to say, I'm going to have something ready. If it's 10 seconds, you know what'll happen? You'll get up, you'll stutter your words out, maybe it'll just come out just flowing. But if we're paying attention, you know what it'll be? It'll be amen. If David could do it at the lowest points in his life, then surely I can in my day-to-day life. If I'm enjoying Christ, the least I can do is give God thanks for his son. When it comes to the prayer meeting, the least I can do is to be prepared. Just to say, just to offer God thanks for his son and to bring a few petitions. Same thing with the prayer meeting before the gospel meeting. The worship on a Sunday morning is vital to your Christian life and to mine. The prayer meeting here tonight is vital to this assembly and its testimony. The prayer meeting before a gospel meeting, that is where the power comes in a gospel meeting. It's not the men that are standing here. The power in presenting the gospel comes when men lay hold on God. It's God's message. And so I just want to encourage you. Be prepared. The least I can do is just, as a male, it's not that I want to be in display, but I understand that it's not only a privilege, but it is really a responsibility that I contribute to the leading of God's people in worship and in prayer. And the greatest thing, it delights the heart of God. Do you think God never noticed when David, in the despair of his heart, he worshiped? The only two times I think that it's recorded that he worshiped. It was at the low points in his life. So may God help us to be exercised in this, and to carry on in the priesthood of believers. Males, it's a public. Scott mentioned it to the females, you're not off the hook. There's a private side. You too need to be prepared. And you'll find that if you're thinking about something, somebody will likely express it audibly. So I hope this is an encouragement. Don't take it as a rebuke or as a waste of half an hour. It didn't tend to be that long. Just something I've been thinking about. To be ready and to give God something back. Just how is how we started the hymn. Not till then how much we owe. It's the least that I can do is to give God thanks for his son and to lead his people in prayer.